All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens in the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you folks. So we got a guest today. And our guest is a local guy near and dear to our heart. And this episode is about the grind and about being accountable to yourself and setting goals. And this guy, he kind of is a standard. And shameless plug, I mean, our guest today really is farmer grade.
This guy in our own community, we know him pretty well, and he has set the standard for me personally. When I was a young kid, I saw him. He was the epitome of working hard and sticking to his goals and striving for something great. And so I saw that from a young age. And so I'm really excited to dive deep into this one, talk to him about it. And before we get into it, though, you guys know the drill. Pay the fee. If you get any value from the show, share it out with your friends, family, coworkers, employees, whoever. The more you guys share the show, the better guests we can have on, the better content we can make. And it's just kind of the ticket to admission to watch or listen to the show. If you want to take it a step further, you can leave a review on Spotify or Apple. That also helps us out tremendously. We're up to 1.3 five-star reviews on Spotify, and we're up to like 539, I think, on Apple. So Apple guys, got to catch up to them Spotify guys. And then, that's it. That's how you can help us today. Without further ado, let's get into it. Cody Soboski, welcome to Barn Talk. Yeah. We've been looking forward to having Cody on for a while now. We've been trying to get this one on the books for a minute, but Cody's a busy guy. He's got shit going on, had to side dress, got pigs everywhere. So we appreciate you taking the time today because I know you're a busy man. So,
absolutely. Thanks for having me.
How's it going? How's it going today?
Great. Feels a lot better being in here now.
Yeah. So. We finally got the barn nice and cool in here. I think we've officially ruled out the humidity in the hayloft of the barn. When we first started this podcast, it was a shit show up here when it came to the heat. We couldn't even stay up here. We had to go to the garage and in the winter too. But
yeah, it is good. Before we get started, no market update today, and we're not going to do hot topics. But I just have got to say that I'm pretty fucking disappointed in you.
Why?
I really thought that I had done a better job of raising you.
Here we go. See, this is the torque you don't see off the.
Well, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you go to the fucking White House. You finally get invited to the White House, and then you don't even have the decency to clean up after yourself. How many times have I told you, you don't leave your cocaine just fucking laying around?
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
Wild night with the boys. Thankfully, I guess the cleanup crew couldn't get to it. I don't know.
They're not looking anymore into it, so.
Yeah, supposedly it was just wild and I don't know. We just didn't cover our tracks well enough, I guess.
I was pretty upset when I heard that. Because that reflects, it reflects badly on your parents.
Luckily, somebody out of our group started paying the media off and they stopped talking about it. So, must have ties. Somebody in the group must have ties to the Biden clan. I don't know.
I've been waiting to unload that on you.
Yeah, I guess. I bet you have. That's pretty clever. So, Cody, I guess just give us a rundown of kind of what you're up to today, what you're all involved in, because we know what you're involved in, but for the viewers out there, kind of what you're doing,
what you do.
Yep. So got out of college 13 years ago, came back home, started livestock farming and helping neighbors with grain and stuff on the side, and then just worked my way up to owning a few barns, and so now own a few barns, manage a few others. This year we started, I was only like 250 acres of a family farm, started farming that. And so got, 18,000 spaces of pigs, 250 acres. And then we started a gym a couple years ago in town, and, seemed like just keep taking more and more on and not getting more help. So pick up any more, I'm going to have to get some more help to
yeah,
kind of help out from day-to-day stuff.
So I had the pleasure of helping put you on your path of neglect. I can't remember what year did you build your first barn that you own?
So that would have been 1200. It was 2011.
Yeah.
And so before that, we were coming up here in your first barn.
Oh, that's right.
We were managing
you and Mitch,
your neighbors, and your first barn you put up for 2 years or something.
That was 2010, was it? Or was it before that? I can't remember.
You know better than I would.
Maybe it was
late 10, maybe, because I got back from school in 10. It might have been that fall, I think.
Yeah, I think it was, because the first group would have gone in there in December. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew I was in good hands. Yeah. Only then you didn't last very long, and then you just left me with Mitch, and then he left me, and then I had to get old Tom Messenger.
Uh-huh. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, forgot about that.
That was a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
So how'd you make it all work? You had to help people. You had to do some custom stuff for people. You had to manage other people's sites, and then you built your first shed in 10. So how'd you go out and build your first shed?
So I didn't have anything, any money. I mean, just weekly paychecks and everything. Thankfully, I had some neighbors that I helped fall and spring field work and everything else, and they had a few hog buildings up of their own. And I wouldn't be where I am today without their help. And so they went in half with me on my first 1200 in 2011. Grew from there 2 years later in 13. I sold my half out and built my own 1200 right next to it. And during that time, picking up a few barns in the area down there, I think I had three to start off with, and grown up to 8 2400s now.
That you're choring. Yep.
And but then just kept working with them, and it just opportunities kept showing up to take on more barns, and that was a way to make more money instead of an hourly wage. And even though I enjoy being in the field more doing row crop stuff, this is the best way to stay home on the farm and grow and get to where I want to be. So yeah, I put the second barn up in 13 and 16. Bought that site and built my second 2400. Yep. Ground it out for 4 or 5 more years. We had an investor build a site behind our house and was able to purchase that. And then just this year was able to purchase Dad's 2400. Yep. So got 5 that I own currently. And
that's awesome.
3 more that we manage. So
yeah, that's awesome, because like I said in the intro before, you were somebody as a young kid. I was 18 and I didn't go to school, and I went to the gym, and you were always in there. And I always said that, I said in the intro that you set the fucking standard when it came to just busting your ass and busting your ass in the gym and busting your ass out choring. Because at the time, Dad was working at Eichelberger's, and that's, you were contracted through, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just knew you at the gym, mm-hmm. right? I seen you in the gym. And I was like, Jesus, he's just a monster. He's just a monster. He's shredded. And then you were like, well, yeah, I know Cody. He chores all these barns. And I was just like, holy shit, how does he do all that? Because at that time, I was choring 3.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was still trying to go to the gym, and I was just like, holy shit, if he's choring 8 and he's in the gym and he's busting his ass and he's hitting all his meals, I was just like, I got no fucking excuse.
Yeah.
And so that was like, I just got to give you credit for that, because I respect you from afar for a long time.
Well, every time I picked up another site or grew, I didn't know how I was going to do it, but give it a few months and he's like, okay, it fits in the schedule. You figure out how to make it work. And so if I would have took all that on at once, I would have been overwhelmed and wouldn't have been able to do it all. So just over the years, you learn as you go. But I think I have reached that plateau of like, something's got to give now. Luckily, we got a loadout crew that loads out all the barns, so I could do the day-to-day stuff without dragging butt throughout the day.
Yeah.
So that's a huge help.
I don't know how many times this happened, but I know that there was at least a couple of times that when I worked for Eichelberger's, when I would go to one of your sites, I would pull in and be like, oh, Cody's here. And then I'd pull in, I'd go into the barn, and Cody's not around. And then I'd come out, I realized that he was asleep in his truck. And but you, your demeanor is always so good, because anytime that that happened, you, I would knock on the door and then you'd open the door and you'd be like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" "Yeah, I pulled in here and I just catching a little bit of a cat nap."
To this day, I still do it. And I lock the door so no one can pull it in, open the door, and surprise me. So,
That's what you gotta
take a little break between barns, especially when it's 90 degrees out going barn to barn.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
So, we always get the question on here. Always get the question: how do I start farming? How do I become a first generation farmer? How, I don't have much, how do I get going? I know today is a little bit different, but like, what advice do you have for kids out there? Because like what you did, you went out, seeked opportunities, met people. Like, how do they go about doing something like that?
Well, I had no clue how I was going to do it when I got out of college. And then looking back today, the opportunities I had then, I don't know how people are going to do it today.
Right.
It gets harder and harder every year. Thankfully, the pig industry was strong, and that allowed... gave a great opportunity. All the buildings that were going up at that time. Biggest thing is just, you know, get to talking to people. You know, if you want to work on the farm, if you want to be out here, get to know your neighbors and, you know, do you need help? This, and, you know, show up on time, work hard, show you want to be there, and, you know, they'll give you opportunities and, you know, just your time will come. You've just got to keep grinding and keep showing up. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You got to find a niche and you just got to run with it and just never turn down an opportunity. But it's just getting harder and harder to find ways. And that's why this year is the first year after being farming for 13 years. I've always wanted a row crop farm, but this is the first year I felt like I was financially ready to
go in
finally pursue it. So it's hard. Just be patient, but be ready to run when you get
something that we talked about at the gym one time that you said to me was also everybody's always watching. Mm-hmm. Your neighbors are always watching. They're driving by. So make sure your shit's squared away, because mm-hmm. you never know who's going to pull in your driveway. And you never know. They're always watching what you're doing, what you're working at and how you're working. And they're people talk. So if you're a young guy, show up on time, because people talk, and also you never know when they're going to pull in your driveway or drive by your place. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And I would say something that always impressed me about you was, for your age, a lot of young people, well, even people in general, it's really difficult for people to ask. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get an opportunity if you don't ask. And I was always impressed that you were always out seeking, mm-hmm. and you weren't afraid to ask the question. Mm-hmm. And there's a hell of a lot of people that they think they have an idea, they think about something, mm-hmm. but they're too afraid to ever like act on it.
And I've been in that position a few times. I just think about it. I don't know if it's going to happen or this and that, and get myself all worked up. And I go ask the question for either the banker for a loan or, you know, think about building a barn here. And it was super simple, super easy. The people were nice to work with. The opportunity was there. I just had to ask.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to ask. What's the worst? They're going to say no.
Yeah.
You know, get a little more money. You know, we'll try a barn somewhere else. Don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, that's something we've always said on here.
Oh,
we learned that, because you get so worked up in your head about it, and then it ends up people are more willing to work with you than you think. So, just going out and asking is huge. Yeah. Did you always know that you were going to come back and try to get into farming, or was there something else that you were kind of?
Yeah, ever since I was little,
Got the farmer bug.
Farming bug. Would get off the school bus. I remember right on the road, and we'd be a couple miles from our house, but Dad would be out in the field combine, and they let us get off the bus. We'd run to the combine and hop in them with a few hours till Mom would pick us up at 6-7 o'clock at night. Went to Kirkwood for row crop. Always wanted to farm. Just how I'm going to do it. How it seemed easy when you're younger, but when you got to start paying the bills, it's a whole different game. So I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
And your grain farming is your ultimate goal, right?
And I enjoy taking care of pigs. Just like to take care of not as many down the road.
Right.
Lighten that load a little bit. But it'd be nice to have just a, right now it's so much one direction. I'd like to kind of
diversify. Go, yeah.
Just take care of your own and not mm-hmm. do any managed sites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you started a grow crop in this year. So mm-hmm. you've been renting, your family's been renting your ground. You've rented your ground out yes. until now.
Yeah. Last 4 years to the neighbors that I actually helped.
Yep.
And they rented it out until.
That's smart though.
Wasn't quite ready. And
yeah.
There's a couple barns I wanted to buy yet. And I needed to finish that project before I started something else. Because otherwise, just this year, all of my money's going towards a planter and
yep.
updating tractors and this and that. And so I just knew I wasn't going to be financially ready if I just needed to slow down and concentrate on that.
Did it rain?
We, thankfully, what was it, last Wednesday, Thursday, started. We got 2 inches and a tenth our first rain, and over like the 4 or 5 day period, we got over 5 and a half inches of rain where we were.
So how bad was your corn by the time it rained? Were you playing the game? Because here, I'll be honest, so we got that same 2 weeks ago, Sunday is when we got our first rain
mm-hmm.
to speak of. Before that, in 4 weeks, we had 4 tenths. Is that mm-hmm. right? I think that's right. We were to the point. Well, I'll tell you what. I think I've told that story. But so that Sunday, we were supposed to get. There was a chance of rain Friday. There was a chance of rain Saturday. There was a chance of rain Sunday. Nothing. And then Sunday came, and it rained about a mile away from us going west. Nothing. Uh-huh. And I was literally sitting on the front porch and I told my wife, I'm like, we're screwed. And then if you got up early enough, it'd be unrolled uh-huh. and it wouldn't look too bad. You'd be like, well, damn, that looks okay. And then by about noon, you'd be like, oh, this corn's fucked. This corn is screwed. And I told my wife, I said, if we don't get a rain out of this deal, we're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. You really don't know. Maybe we could have gone another week. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea. I sure was on to the point I didn't think we could.
Yeah.
And my beans, hell, my beans hadn't grown in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just stayed. Mm-hmm. We got that rain, and now everything looks...
Everything's grew like a foot in this last week, taking off, started tasseling. Our clay or spots were just rolled up tight as can be.
Yeah.
This last week just gave you hope again, finally.
Yeah.
They might have something. It looks great down in our area. I mean, the roots have finally gone down because of the dry weather, and then we got this rain. It changed like that.
Oh, shit. So. This is going to ruin you now.
Yeah.
You're going to have this good great year first right year. Out of the gate.
Yep.
Yeah. You're going to be like, holy shit, boy, this grain, this is simple.
Well,
this is simple, boys.
I haven't sold anything yet, so I'm hoping that doesn't
No, go down, I agree so. With you. It could still go south. So when you were in high school or growing up, mm-hmm. you figured this is what you were always going to do. Mm-hmm. And then you get out of high school and you go to Kirkwood.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers to Kirkwood. I went to Kirkwood.
Yeah.
I don't remember a whole lot about that.
A lot
that.
Of keg stands.
I did learn how to drink beer out of a funnel. At Kirkwood. I hadn't done that before I went up there. But other than that, I don't know if I learned anything or not. But
went there to school. Major in beer drink and then minor and
whatever.
You're supposed to go there for.
So. Yeah. Whatever. So you go through that, and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm gonna stay in ag. Mm-hmm. But when you get home, what is that process like? Because did you have a plan as far as did you know you were going to be able to work for your neighbor when you got back to help fill in, or were you just making it up as you went?
It was making it up as I went. So I was hoping to come back home, but didn't know how that was going to work.
Yep.
I knew I had a fall and springtime job helping them, but they had the rest of the year pretty well covered. Not a clue what was going to happen, but then got a phone call one day from a friend that, hey, we got an opportunity here with about 10,000 spaces north of Washington.
Sure.
And that they're looking for help.
Yep.
So that was maybe a month out of school or wasn't quite out of school yet. So thankfully that fell in And it all just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. Okay.
And just grabbed the pig by the tail and ran with it. And I knew that that was the only opportunity I had to get into it.
You're big into ag, right? You're a farmer, but I mentioned a little bit in here, you're also kind of a bodybuilder too. Now you got this gym. You just opened up this gym in town. Shout out to Brick House Barbell. That's where I go work out. It's a hell of a gym, but
it's a real nice gym. I drive by there once in a while. Sawyer tries to get me to go in, but it looks like work. Anytime that door's rolled up, when I'm going to the liquor store to get Crown and the door's rolled up, I look in there and I go, gosh, that just looks like a lot of work in there.
We see on the camera when you drive by, you know, poking your head in there, but we don't ever see a stop.
Yeah.
So. Nope.
He's just getting his lifted in this way.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yep. Getting them bicep curls in.
I don't know. I might have to do something.
Yeah.
It's just starting to...
Just at least do some cardio.
Starting to work on me.
I'm keep eating all that bacon. You got to...
Yep. Got to even it out. Yeah.
It is the Lord's perfect food.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're kind of... You started getting into farming, but you also, like, really started taking bodybuilding seriously. So kind of walk us through kind of what made you want to get into that and kind of how it's progressed to you, like, being a part owner in a gym.
So that goes all the way back to junior high when we first started, got introduced to the lifting program for football. Ever since then, it's always been part of what I wanted to do. It's just, always enjoyed lifting, going to the gym, just get your mind off stuff. Then after high school, went to college, drank a lot of beer, but still made it to the gym up there, put on some weight, came back home and started losing that. And I always like to be busy and growing and stuff. So when I'd put up a new barn or financially stretch myself that I couldn't do anymore, it'd make me crazy that I couldn't do anything. So I'd go to the gym and occupy my time there and set goals in the gym. And then, you know, 2 or 3 years goes by, oh, hey, I could build another barn or I could grow here. And so then I'd focus on that for 6 months and then back to that. And then it got to... wanted to take it to the next level. And I can't remember, 18, I think I did my first show, and did it with a few friends here in town, and just wanted to try out, see if I liked it, loved it. Just, it was more so just trying to reach your goal and push your body to places you've never been. And like I said, it was just something to get your mind off home, something to do different. Because when you're on the farm, it's farm, you know, from morning till night.
Yep.
That's all it is. So end up getting a bodybuilding coach. My second show was a year later, came in a lot better. I think that one was out in Omaha. Was training for another show last 2 or 3 years and kind of got burned out between working all the time, going to the gym, and something needed to give. And the bodybuilding shows, you get a $5 trophy.
Yeah.
You know, work, you know, I want to build a new house, want to keep growing that. So my focus was, I need to turn that back to fun and then focus on farming, because got myself to a point that that's taking up most of my time now.
So. Yeah.
But I guess back to building the gym, the gyms in Iowa are fine, but they're all Planet Fitness stuff. There's no heavy lifting gyms. There's a lot of equipment out there people don't know about. And if you go to bigger cities, Omaha, St. Louis, you see those gyms and you're like, I want that around here, but you can't even go to Iowa City or Des Moines to find those. And so we got to the point, we came together, a couple of us, and decided, hey, let's start looking. We had a couple places in mind, and then we set up a time to meet somebody up in Wilton and to look at some equipment. Found $20,000 worth of equipment we like. We bought it. We didn't even have a place to put it yet. We're like, well, I guess we're doing this. And we just ran with it. And that was supposed to be a small investment. And next thing you know, we want this, we want that. 2 years later, hey, I need another loan or more cash going into it. But I think everybody in there loved it. And we want to keep, you know, bring something here that no one's really seen. So,
yeah, I love it. I mean, it's like what you said. I feel like it's an American hard. It's not like hard, like too hard, but it's an American weightlifting gym. Like, you go in there, you can slam your weights after you did a heavy ass deadlifting set, and not have the front desk lady look at you with a weird look like you better cut that shit out.
There's no Pilates classes?
No Pilates. I don't think you offer Pilates classes. No Pilates classes. Roll up door, you know? It's just, it's one of those vibes.
Yeah, the variety of equipment. Yeah. So, if you're doing legs, you're not doing squats all the time, putting all that pressure on your back. We got, eight different pieces of equipment that could hit different areas. And we've really... You've seen it. We've outgrown the gym just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we find something we really, really like that we really want. We'll make room or get rid of something, but now we're kind of maxed out. And so don't know what we're going to do going forward, but we want to keep growing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Do you feel like that's a great investment personally, or do you feel like that's like just a fun, like awesome thing to put into the town? Like, do you feel like that's paying off? Do you think the interest has started to pick up on it? Because I feel like it's popping. I mean, I feel like people love Brick House, you know?
Oh, yeah. And you go in there at 5 o'clock, there's cars
down. It's busy all the time.
I think, and I'm totally, I don't have anything to do with it because I don't.
I'm not yet.
I'm not into that.
Not yet. Never say never.
But I will say this. The culture is excellent because anybody you talk to that goes there, they love to talk to you about Brick House.
That's what we wanted. We want to make it. There's a lot of people that are intimidated when they outside. You know, the people are in here. They've seen photos. This is the kind of place, the stereotype. When they come in there, it's not like that. You're welcome. We're all supporting each other. There's no one yelling at each other. It's not anything like that. We're all in here, family, all to do better and to change our lives better.
Well, and I feel like a lot of gyms, a lot of chain gyms and a lot of community, whatever, YMCA or whatever, there is no atmosphere, really. Yeah. They're usually very sterile because they don't want to offend anybody, so they try to be all-inclusive, so they end up being, they have no culture whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as bad as having a bad culture.
It's very vanilla. Yeah. There's like, it's just bland.
Those are the kind of places, you lose weight and they celebrate with a pizza party. Like, no,
it's not how it works.
You get frowned upon if you try to exceed and do better. You know, you got to just stay that fine line there.
Yep. Yeah.
And so that's why we wanted this stuff. Like you said, not get yelled at for dropping weights and everything else. So, and something different that we want people to who's traveling through the Midwest, people who have been to other gyms, people who are serious lifters to come there and still be wild at the equipment, and people who might, for gym members and people who might come in every once in a while, there's a new piece of equipment in here every couple months, hopefully, or twice a year. So we want to keep surprising, keep supporting our members.
Yeah. So you happy with the investment you made?
Yes. Now, looking at it as if you were just financially doing it and looking for return, no.
Yeah.
But we're making ends meet. It's paying for itself. And we enjoy doing it. And it's not a bar. It's something healthy and positive.
Serving the community.
And it could be serving the community and helping families, grow together, be healthier together. So I think it's a good positive thing. You add those together, I think it's a great.
Yeah, I do too. Us. I think it's awesome. I think that's what we need more of in this country. It's just Americans coming together, starting a business that's got that kind of family vibe. It's there to help the community, help Americans out. And like, I feel like when I walk in there that it's a very like patriotic gym. Like, and everybody there is like welcoming, like you said. Everybody's for the most part pretty patriotic, and like
you should probably just have Greg in a patriotic Uncle Sam hat every day of the week.
Get the cutoff shirt and the
absolutely
yeah.
Heck yeah,
he's patriotic and welcoming.
Yeah. Yes,
shout out to you, Greg.
Yeah, if you're listening,
what is When you went down the road of going from serious lifting to bodybuilding, your experience with that, what do you think is the biggest misconception that people have of the sport of bodybuilding?
That the biggest misconception is when you look at people when they get to that lean body weight, that very low body fat percentage, is that we're doing it. We want to look good, but you don't look good at that time. You're doing it to try to prove yourself you can get to a certain point that you could, you know, if I could do this, then I know I could do, if I could reach this goal there, then I feel more comfortable. I could reach goals out in the farm, out in the real world. So if I could accomplish this, the other things don't seem quite as big to me. And so yeah. The biggest, you know, they say you look gross, but you're only looking like that for a couple of weeks. Then you go back to eating, how you eat back up, put a little more body fat on, and, you know,
yeah.
Say you look too skinny and too gross.
So people just talk shit and think that you're just doing it for looks when you're really just doing it to see what you can accomplish.
Huge mental health, and just to be able to reach those goals and prove yourself that you can do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that do one or two shows and they're done, and they just wanted to see if they could do it
yeah.
and push themselves. And it wasn't yeah. for anybody else. If you're doing it for any other reasons besides for yourself, you're going to quit.
Yeah.
So if you're doing it for yourself, you'll make it through.
So what? So when you were doing both, when you were farming, taking care of 8 barns, and trying to do the bodybuilding at the same time, mm-hmm. what did your day look like? Like, how the hell did you get in all the food, load all the pigs, get all the mm-hmm. pigs chored,
mm-hmm.
do any work that you had to get done in the fall? Like, what's that look like?
This is the first year that I got. When I picked up my last few barns, I stopped doing field work at that time, helping the neighbors. So this is the first year I started doing that on my own. And so that's when I dropped competitively bodybuilding. But before, when I was just doing those 8 barns, I had a little bit of time. I could sleep in the morning. We'd have to prep food on the weekends for the whole week because there's just no time to cook during the week. And loading pigs in the middle of the night. And it's extremely hard. It's easy when you could get up at 7, 6 o'clock every day and go to bed at 8 o'clock every night. You just have a routine. But with this, you know, you can get called up. Oh, hey, you got to load at 10 o'clock in the morning. Hey, you got to load pigs at midnight. And there's no consistency. So it messes with your mental state. You want to eat. Eat to make myself feel happy. And so it was a struggle to do all that. But you just have to prepare yourself for success. And if you didn't prepare at the beginning of the week, then you're going to end up eating junk food and feeling like crap and not being where you want to be.
So how many meals did you eat when you were, like, bulking?
It'd be 6, maybe 7. Now, granted, some of them were, like, a smaller protein shake before you go to the gym or something. But you'd have a solid 4 to 5 meals with, you know, your protein, carbs, and fats, big meals.
Would you bring it, like, would you just bring it in a cooler to go chore all the barns?
Thankfully, when I started doing that, I was back home. And so everything was around home, and I could swing it home, put it in the microwave, warm back up, and I'd head back out. So thankfully, that was pretty easy for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That's crazy.
When we would go to the gym, if we had to do something, come to the gym, which is 15 minutes from home, bring my post-workout meal with me, I'd work out, do that, and then if we have to go to Iowa City or something afterwards, we'd do that.
So would you typically chore in the morning, or would you lift in the morning, or how would you?
Depending on if we loaded pigs at night, I'd probably get up and chore. I probably wouldn't get up till 10 and chore the rest of the day. And then, heck, I'd be going to the gym at 7, 8 o'clock at night. And the wife would get mad because, you know, she's going to bed and I'm just heading to the gym to go work out. And it's a whole different schedule. And now being married and everything else, I figured out, got to have somewhat of a home life. Like, you know, I'm setting myself up for failure.
Yeah.
With the relationship if I'm not, something I had to give. Yeah. So with that loadout crew, I'm able to stay focused and
hit your goals on everything.
Yeah.
I think that's spot on.
I never knew how you did it all, to be honest. I just was always looking from afar. I was like, how the fuck is he bulking like that with 8 fucking barns? It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was awesome, but
you got to have a drive, you know, if you don't have that will behind you, that drive, you're going to show up there and just piddle dink around. But when you make that commitment, if it was in your garage, you didn't make any commitment to go there. You can go back inside and go to sleep. But when you make that 20-minute drive commitment and you drink that pre-workout, you're there. Let's get the most out of it. Let's go.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say that we got to the point where something would have had to have given if we couldn't have gotten the load crew for at least part of our loads.
Or hired out some of the editing. I mean, yeah.
Because you just, well, but I, the loading is the worst part because you cannot plan. Mm-hmm. You cannot plan. You can plan if you get that schedule on Friday and you're scheduled for next Friday.
Yeah.
But if you get that schedule Friday and you're loading Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. And then 50% of the time, you know, probably you've been there. Oh, hey, it's changed to later on in the week. And then you can't plan to go to concerts or go out for birthday parties or anything else. Oh, hey, I need to go to bed early because I got to load pigs at midnight. Otherwise, you're up for 24 hours. And you do that 3 or 4 days a week when you're loading pigs. You just can't do that forever. When you're in your 20s, that's some advice is don't be afraid of work. You're going to have to put in those long days. You're going to have to be up for a day or two in a row.
Yep.
But save and invest so you don't have to do that forever.
So what drives you today? Like what is like the thing that you're striving for? Or what's the thing that keeps the drive that you have and have had? Like what is, where do you get that? Where does it come from? What are you going for?
My goal I set a long time ago was I want to work for myself. I want to own the barns. I want to, you know, raise my own crops. I want to haul my own manure. I want to work for myself. And so when I when we do end up having kids, I want to be able to not ask for time off or do anything else. I could take off when I need to. I can get up earlier and get stuff done earlier. It's on my time. But then I got to, you know, but then when you're that person, you got to work Saturdays and Sundays sometimes. But with more risk, more reward. What drives me also is just parents aren't, growing up, never been financially well off, and always liked nicer things, always wanted nicer things, and there's always, we needed front tires for our Ford 320 John Deere growing up, and I remember we had to go in our old wood granary with Grandpa to scrap, find some tires, that old school bus tires, and had to pull ice spikes out of them, and then he took them to the store, to the town to put tubes in them, and then put them on the 4320, or you just go buy new tires. And I just hated that. You spend so much time doing that, and just something had to change. Why not me? Why can't I have nice things? Why can't I be there? And I feel like if some people just use that as an excuse because of this, because of that, because I was from here. No, work hard, make a difference, be smart about it. Don't be afraid of, you know, change, growing and working hard. And you know, what's the worst you're going to do? You know, like you said, you ask for something, so they're going to tell you no. Okay, well, maybe that's meant to go down a different path for you. Just just don't be afraid to just keep going after it.
Yeah. Okay, going forward, what do you think's the biggest challenge? Like what's the biggest thing standing between you and where you want to be as far as when you have these little munchkins that are bound to come one of these days? First of all, I gotta say, with everything you got going on, I'm impressed that you, one, took the time to find a woman, and two, found a woman that took enough pity upon you that is willing to,
well, he's like what you said, he's got enough problems that he needs fixed that he's not letting her lose hope that she can fix him.
Yeah, so my advice to you, I give this to anybody, is, you know, there's things that a woman will absolutely love about you. But then there are things that she doesn't like. However, being a woman, and thank the good Lord they're made this way, they look at that and it's like a challenge. They're like, well, you know, he's got all this, but man, that drives me crazy. But I think I can fix him. The one thing you don't want to do is ever get far enough down the line that they look at you and go, you know what? I don't think I can fix that son of a bitch. That's a bad place to be. That's when bad things happen. So you always got to keep that glimmer of hope. To this, I will be married 30 years this year, and I've managed the secret. People are like, oh, well, you know, what's the secret? The secret is that I've never fully extinguished the idea in Trisha's mind that she can fix me. In fact, she would say that she's actually made progress. Now, I don't know
how she has. So you got to give her a little bit.
Oh, I give her a lot of credit.
No, I'm saying you got to.
Yeah, you do. You got to
make some improvement.
You got to give them a little meat, you know, to.
Every year, like, a little bit more.
Yep, that's right. Because that'll keep them around, and that'll keep them taken care of you. Because Lord knows we need taken care of. You, on the other hand. Cat's got
She's got a lot of shit.
She's got a lot of work ahead of her.
I know.
She's got a lot of work.
She does.
She's got time, though.
So. I got time. She's got plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Does she? I mean, we need to get this.
I'm working. I'm just like
Cody
here.
I'm trying to
get us ahead here. I'm trying to get a little bit of breathing room.
All right.
15, 20 years before you can retire if it starts tomorrow. So
yeah. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You're going to be on here for a long time.
Yeah. See, he understands my pain.
We'll be all right. We'll get there. What do you think the biggest threat to farming is? What do you think the biggest threat to just ag as a whole, in your opinion? What scares you the most when it comes to being in ag and all that shit?
It scares me the most. I'd have to say the people in town, that bigger cities that have never been out here, that think they know the best for what's going on out here, that try to pass rules and regulations on us when they have no clue why we're doing it, and we're doing it for a better purpose. You know, we've grown, used to go be this way 20 years ago, and we've got to this point today. So it's the people in town that just need to understand we're not out here just trying to make money. We're doing it with a passion. You know, our families live on these farms. We swim in these creeks and ponds and everything else. So I think biggest threat is misinformation, and people need to understand that we're out here together, and
we're not just winging it.
We're not winging it. We're trying to make every generation and every day we're trying to make stuff better and for animals, families, and environment, everything.
Yeah. We're trying to make it better than when we received it or when we got in here.
That's right.
We've done a piss poor job at that.
Thankfully someone came along to pick up the reins.
I know.
So.
Yep. It's all on you, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
It's all on you.
I know.
What's the next piece of equipment that you want to buy? What's the next piece of the puzzle that needs to be replaced? Or
so actually, it's sitting down at Morning Sun. I have a 5/115M John Deere tractor, and got a newer planter this spring. There's a hydraulics, and so I didn't have enough hydraulics. I had to get a PTO pump. That thing was a pain in the ass the spring to plant with. So called down there, and I couldn't afford a new Deere. For a 6 series, I'm upgrading to a Massey Ferguson, 160 horse loader, duals, you know, IVT front. Yep. Wanted to get it fully loaded, but I can't afford. It'd be another $80,000 for deer to get that kind of equipment.
Right.
So that's what I'm waiting on right now. For next year, I got the one corn planter. I'd like to upgrade to an interplant so I could. This year I just double planted. I'd plant in between the corn rows, and I'd go back and do it again. And that was a pain in the ass.
Look at you, I can't do that again.
Yeah,
you don't like the 30-inch road, huh?
Yeah, I hate 30-inch rows. They finally canopy when you're about ready to harvest. So,
well, that's how mine are this year because they didn't grow for a month and a half.
Yeah,
they still haven't canopied. Normally, they should be.
What's your thoughts on deer? Personally, like everybody wants deer, but like some people are getting sick of their shit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about? Are you like deer all the way, or are you kind of like I don't know?
Grew up deer,
yep.
Grandpa had deer, dad had deer, didn't look at any other piece of equipment. It was deer. And when I was looking for a tractor, my biggest decision maker in this process was I would have gone with a 2 or 3 year old deer, 400 or 500 hours, no problem. But when you're doing that, you're looking at high interest now. When you buy new, you can get that lower 2 or 3% interest. I was looking at 7% interest for a comparable price. I just couldn't make that move. I think they're just getting ridiculous on prices. They think their stuff's gold. It's great equipment, but I know a lot of farmers in the area that are switching and just trying something different. And I don't know if deer is just expecting to capitalize on those few farmers that are going to pay that and then lose out on the other quarter or half that's going elsewhere. But there's a lot of Fendt and those other competitors that are coming in that are making a statement around here.
You know, there's always been a few guys that were not ever brand loyal. Mm-hmm. I've got a neighbor that they've never been brand loyal. They'll buy whatever, you know, because it just like, I need a tractor this big and whoever's got the best deal or the best lease or but whatever, they'll do it. But a heck of a lot of guys have been tried and true, And pretty much, for the most part around here, it's either you're a Case guy or a John Deere guy. But, man, in the last few years, like, I've been amazed at how many people I've seen that have gone the Fendt route. Or the thing that really surprised me, I think, this last year is I've seen more AGCO planters than I've seen in years. And I think it all comes down to the price has just gotten, the price point has gotten to a place where it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, was that what you think it is? Is you think it's just price that's pushing people away from deer, or is it all the tech that they're putting in it, and then you got to have a service guy come out to fix a problem that comes up on your shit, and you can't fix it yourself?
I think that's with everybody.
Yeah.
But I think it's more, there's a whole generation of guys my age or older that if you were lucky enough to get to a point where you had a line of equipment, deer was at a price point where you could run it and trade it, run it, trade it, and you pretty much had your cost per acre down to where you could run either, you had two groups of guys. You had a group of guys out there that they were trading every year or every 2 years and rolling, and they had a cost per acre that was X for combine, planter, and their tractors they were running. And then you had a whole group of guys that were buying that equipment, 2 or 3 year old equipment, and they were buying it for this, and they were playing the same game. Well, now, and it's not all Deere's fault. There is a whole lot of things that happened with the economy and COVID and supply chain and blah, blah, blah. But that price has jumped so hard and interest has moved to where now you can't make that jump. You can't keep rolling that. So then you got to make the decision. Am I just going to lease everything, or am I going to be the guy that I buy a piece and I run it till it's trash and then go buy a new one? And so I think a lot of people are looking for just a better price option for, I mean, it's no different than you. I need a 160 horse tractor and I could spend this or I can buy this. And they're going that route. And I also will say this, the quality of the equipment of competitors has gotten a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
Because there was a time in there where you pretty much had John Deere and Case and everybody else.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's narrowed a hell of a lot in the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 years ago, they're still probably like 20 years behind, but I think they've caught up a lot in the last 10 years. Like the planter instance, you know, I know somebody who was looking at Deere and then they end up going with a white and exact same planter, high speed, everything on it. It's like $150,000 difference. And for, you know, how do you make that up? Just because it's green?
Yeah.
You can't.
No, and you can't. And that's the other thing is, you know, commodity prices, I don't know what they're going to be. We lost 2 million bean acres just out of somehow. We didn't know that was going to be. And we beat the shit out of the corn price. It's up a little bit today. We're getting back. But, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. And there just isn't that much margin left. I mean, there's just not.
It's getting harder and harder for farmers every year.
Yeah.
They keep trying to weed us out. What's going to happen? I mean, lots changed last 10 years. What's the next 10 years going to look like? It's crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about this many times on here. You know, in our situation here, we farm 400 acres. And basically we farm that for free because my mom's in a retirement home. And, you know, I'm happy to do it because she's earned that, but pretty much it takes everything we make off the farming just to pay to keep her. So, and what we're doing is not any different. I mean, that the average age of your American farmer has gotten really high, and that same story plays out all over this country. There's a whole generation of people now that the cost of the medical care on that older generation, it's just, it's, it has a heavy, it's, Well, it's as heavy as having a second rent. I mean, it's basically paying rent on ground that's paid for, and if you're renting it, it's really tough.
Yeah, I know. Like my grandparents, they were close to having to sell a piece or two to keep grandma in the hospital or in the nursing home, and it's you work your whole life for it to be gone. If you're in the nursing home 5-8 years and gone like that,
so they like having you be a consumer.
They consume, do like having you be a consumer.
Consume. Put your ass in a nursing home. Take your shit.
Suck the rest of it.
Suck the rest of it you got out. Yeah. So you got a tractor, you got a planter. Mm-hmm. Do you got a combine, or are you going to have somebody custom combine, or you got one?
Yeah, the neighbor going to help custom combine this year. I'm going to try to help them, you know, return some labor for that.
Yep.
250 acres isn't enough, but that's down the road. Hopefully you can find some more ground and grow there, and I'd like to get a combine and tractor and shit tank and haul my own manure.
So would you do combine first or shit tank first? Which one are you going to, one would you go first?
So yeah, definitely, you know, probably get half the acres out and then go ahead and start running that. And by that time I have a hired hand. So whether we're doing both at the same time or something like that, but, I don't foresee ever having a lot of acres. 800 to 1,000 would be great. You know, if I can get that knocked out quick, then you have a solid month and a half of running manure. And so that's kind of the goal. And then could focus on that, haul grain to town, get someone else to stick in the hog barns, and I'll just do the maintenance and stuff on them. That's kind of the goal.
Freedom. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yep.
Be able to, that's a thing, keeping the wife happy, you know, keeping her on the bit. Like, there'll be change in the future. We could break away on the weekends every once in a while, finally, and, you know, just got to keep working at it.
That's my goal, is just haul the grain to town.
Got to get a semi first.
One load in the morning. One load in the morning, then get to the mill and drink coffee and learn from all the feed truck drivers, because those guys have all the knowledge. And then come home, stop, have pie, then load one more, and then haul that.
You forgot your stop at Brick House.
Oh,
you got to park. After pie, you got to park and then get in the gym. Get your steps in, then get back in, then go.
Do you have one of those machines that's like the vibrating belt? You know, you just you put the belt on and then you stand. That's supposed to just shake the fat off of you. You got one of them?
I don't know. You think that works out, Cody? Try that out.
We'll torque test that out.
We'll have,
if it works, we'll bring it in.
Yeah.
So Sawyer's been telling me, you know, that all I need to do is...
You tell him this too, because you know.
Yeah. So Sawyer's like, Dad, all you got to do
He's like, I want to lose weight.
Figure out your calories for the weight you want to be, and then just eat those calories, and you're active enough that you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, shit, that's a good idea. I mean, I'm all about it. So I got on, and I got the calculator, you know. And
found his maintenance.
Found my maintenance. It's like 1,875 calories.
That's for what you got to eat.
For what I need to be, you know, to get
under
to
your
where
maintenance.
You want to be.
Yeah. And then I was, you know, I was smoking a pork butt, and I was putting I was wrapping it, putting the butter and the honey and the brown sugar, and I was reading the nutritional content on that, and I was like, well, I think I'm already over. I think I'm already over my 1,875 calories. I'm not sure how this is going to work for me.
That's the tough thing. And yeah, you don't want to set yourself up for failure. But, you know, enjoy it. You know, you got your Saturday where you do that, but then the other 6 days, work hard on the
diet. There.
But yeah, don't set yourself up for failure. You'll quit.
I feel like your generation has overcomplicated weight loss and weight gain for muscle. It's a simple equation.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to gain weight, you got to eat in a caloric surplus. If you want to lose weight, got to be in a caloric deficit. If you want to gain muscle, you got to be in the gym lifting weights. You want to lose weight, cardio would help you probably lose weight a little bit faster.
Am I
right on that? Mm-hmm. Macros too. What do you think about macros? Protein?
Yeah, I think everything. It matters a lot, especially if you're gaining weight. You're going to want more protein and higher carbs. If you're losing, you still want to keep. If you want to hold on that muscle, you want to keep your that's when you start playing with fats and carbs, and you want to keep your protein high because you don't want to lose your muscle mass.
Yeah.
But
for him, what's he got to do? He's just got to eat in the deficit.
The biggest thing is nutrition. You know, you can go in there and do all you want, and then you come outside to have pork butts every day for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, full of barbecue sauce and everything else. you're going to feel good, but you're not going to hardly see any results.
Yeah.
The best results you're going to see is, you know, sticking to that plan 6 days a week and enjoying that one or two meals a week of letting yourself go, but then get back on it.
I probably should just eat 2,200 calories and just load all the pigs myself.
Could do that. Okay.
Could do that. Nothing makes you feel... No, that's the only thing I miss about not loading pigs is there is no better sense of accomplishment after loading pigs.
Yeah.
Because I like for the, I always like to be the one, I've actually given up on this. I let Sawyer load them now onto the truck, but I always wanted to load them on the truck because
that walk.
I wanted him to know that I won.
That you won.
Then go home, eat that bacon sandwich at the end of the night.
Yes.
Yep.
We absolutely. Would do that. We would do that.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, what's your take on the 2024 presidential election? Who you want? What do you think's the best? What do you think? Well, how do we turn this country around? What do you think?
I think just got to get some more common sense back in there and stop feeding everyone full of shit and just covering up for people and hold people accountable. And I don't know. There's a lot of interesting candidates coming up. I haven't looked too much. So obviously Trump and DeSantis are top Republicans. But I want to listen to both sides. And they got Robert Kennedy, that's coming
Democrat.
In. And really, he's someone most Democrats I can't even stand listening to. But he seems very interesting, and I just want to hear more about that.
He's pretty sharp. I listened to a speech that he gave here a couple of weeks ago. The hardest thing about that guy is his voice. He's very difficult to listen to because he has just the most
feel bad for him
raspy yeah. voice.
And he is good.
He's sharp.
And coming from Biden, our next president needs to be someone who's very strong, comes out, presents himself strong, very definite when they talk, and it's hard to...
Yeah, we got to turn some shit around. Whoever's next has got to turn some shit around.
Could be Joe.
No, I think that's... you see that for seeing that happening.
No chance. They're just trying to keep it together enough till then, and they'll find some excuse that they won't allow him to run or something. I don't know. Are they still not wanting to do any debates with him?
Yes.
It's
not... Well, and I don't think that'll happen. I don't know what you want to say. The pressure would have to mount incredibly for him to debate Kennedy because he has nothing to gain and everything to lose. And you don't have to listen to Robert Kennedy very long. The guy is very articulate, and I listened to most of the interview he did with Rogan, and quick, and I don't know of any time that he really was stumped. He never got hurried, but he didn't, fumble for an answer. So you think about somebody like that with that level of cognizant, presence, debating Joe Biden.
Well, they gotta give it enough time so they can get that clone out of the factory first, and then once that's ready, they'll put them up there. And
have you ever seen a time? I don't know a time in history that a president. So every president that there's been, whoever didn't vote for that guy has something bad to say about him. That's always been the case. You know, people didn't like Clinton. People didn't like Obama. People didn't like Reagan, didn't like Bush. You know, but yesterday I saw somebody was selling a T-shirt. It had Joe Biden on it with fireworks in the background going off. And it said, Merry Christmas, America.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And the funny thing about it is, so
he's
that's
a meme. He's a meme.
Ha, funny. That's ha-ha funny. But every single person that sees it, you totally go, well, Joe Biden could say something like that.
Yeah.
It's totally believable that he could say something like that.
Yeah.
And that is a sad fucking place to be in this country where your level, and I don't care what side you're on, but if we're at a point where the commander-in-chief is thought so poorly of that everything that's said, every meme that's put out there, you have to weigh it out and go, would he say that or would he not say that? And 90% of the time, you're like, yeah, he'd probably say that. That's a sad. I mean, we're in a bad spot. We really are.
It's week after week. It's not one time.
No.
From 6 months ago, week after week, they are making fun of him.
And whoever gets to be the next president of this country, the amount of damage that's been done, as far as on the level of trust at every level of government, I don't think it's been lower than it is right now. Like, I don't trust anything that comes out that someone within the cabinet of Joe Biden says. I don't believe it. Like, I'm not saying that they're lying, but I'm also like, they might.
You don't
be.
Know if you're telling. If they're
I'm not
going to
say whether that's true or not.
Yeah.
Because I have zero faith that it is the truth. I also have zero faith that our government has our best interests in mind at every level.
They don't.
And I don't think there's been a time that I would feel that way, but I do now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a bigger agenda that we're still not fully seeing yet. And they're going to keep, they've been working on it for years and they're going to keep trying to work on it. And whatever that is, I know, like, the whole COVID thing, being self-made and everything, was told before they had mosquitoes in Florida that if they bit you, you can become allergic to meat and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, when I got sick with COVID, I didn't go get tested or anything, but, you know, meat, eggs, everything started tasting like I shouldn't like it. I knew I needed to eat them. Eggs still don't taste the same. You know, I think there's, you know, that's a test run and there's other things they're going to try to do. They got a whole lot of stuff up their sleeve that we don't know yet.
Yeah, it's, I think we've talked about it many times, but it's like, I think people are like, so when you say, like, people ask, I'll hear people ask me, like, you think that there's a group of people behind the scenes that are running the show that are wanting America to fall? And I'm like, you don't think that's the case? Like, I asked that person, you don't think that's the case? And they'll be like, well, no, I don't think there's one group that's trying to do it. And maybe there's not, but I feel like there's a mix of powerful, very, very powerful, very wealthy people that would want nothing more than for not just America, but the world to rely solely on them and the government. Yes. I mean,
so if you don't buy the idea that Joe Biden has a handler,
I mean, how else would you run? If your goal was to run the country into the ground, would you do anything different than what he's doing right now?
Oh, no.
I mean, if your objective was to just run it into the ground, what else would you do different?
So what I say to people that ask that question is, I say, well, if you don't believe that's true, then the only other explanation is that as a country, we have made it a priority to hire people at every level that are so inept that this is the result that we get. Mm-hmm. Both of those scenarios are very poor. So it's either a concerted effort to push us in the direction we're going, or our government is populated by people that are vastly
stupid,
not equipped for the position they're in.
Well, that's what happens when you get chosen for stuff for because of your race and everything else besides, you
know, ability.
Yeah.
Instead of ability.
So thankfully, you know, Supreme Court kind of shot that down here recently. Yeah. But it's, where do you start when the next person comes in? So that's where Trump is so far, you know, just turn stuff upside down. But that's what it needs done. So, you know, like DeSantis, but is he going to ruffle feathers like Trump will?
Yeah. Is he going to get in there and really go after it or not?
And I think I could say this because this is probably our smallest demographic for this podcast. The problem is that everybody's running to satisfy suburban women. I mean, no, I'm serious. If you look at the vote, If you're a Democrat, you're going to vote the way you're going to vote. If you're a Republican, you're going to vote the way you're going to vote. And if you're an independent, within your independents, if you look at the demographics of those independents, you can split them up pretty well too. The deciding factor in Trump losing was the rate of suburban women that had voted for him the first time that chose not to vote for him the second time because he offended so many people. When Obama got elected, one of the biggest blocks of people that supported him, suburban women. So if you piss off all the suburban women,
which you're doing right now,
I am probably. That's the problem. And then the other thing is, the whole Electoral College, you're really coming down to six or eight states that basically are, right. The rest of the states are irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
California is going to vote the way it's going to vote. New York's going to vote the way it's going to vote. Looks like Florida is going to vote the way it's vote. It's gone 100% Republican. They'd love to flip Texas because if you flip Texas, the rest of it doesn't matter.
Well, if everyone that's been coming out and moving there, you know.
Yeah.
Because they don't like California, but they bring the same voting things to Texas. Well, what do you expect?
Texas is the biggest risk to our democracy there is as far as if you flip Texas, then the deal's done. But if you keep everything the same as what it is, you're down to like six or eight states that you only have to win a certain number of those, and then that's where the battle's at, is within those states. The rest of the country doesn't matter. So yep. I don't know. I don't know where it'll go, but I am amazed. Well, two things. One, I'm amazed that for all of the far left, for all of their rhetoric and everything they want and everything that they're going after, you're still relying on an old white guy. Like we talk about, they want to be the party of inclusion, they want to be the party of this, the party of that. Everything they hate, white privilege, rich, old white men, that's what you got, that's what you're running, that's your guy, that is your guy. Mm-hmm. I just think that's funny as shit.
He was supposed to be he's going to unite us and calm us all down and
nice
just
guy.
Bring us together.
But then the other side is, I'm just amazed that, like, this is the best we can get. Like, this is the best we can get for people that want the job of, I don't know.
Even 3/4 of the candidates that are up on debate stages, really this. And then the best ones are normally thrown out at the beginning because they don't have the money or this and that. Yeah. And then, it's just incredible. And then how are they supposed to have the most demanding job, be available 24/7? And you got an 80-year-old that's supposed to be in a nursing home. Like, there's no way he could hold the highest job and be aware all the time.
Yeah, and I've said this before. So my father passed away. He was 99 years old. And I can tell you right now, when I watch Joe Biden, I'm pretty sure my dad could have beat Joe Biden at a game of chess. Like, I don't feel like he's as with it at 80, whatever he is, than Lawrence Whistler was at a good part of being 99 years old, which is, and I'm not saying that my dad was a rocket scientist at 99. Time had definitely, like, he definitely was not as sharp as he was, but I feel like he was sharper than where Joe is now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's scary. I mean, it's elder abuse. To me, that's straight up elder abuse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
he's got
to
show up and be a puppet every day. So
I don't know. I feel like we got off on a tangent there.
Well, I just asked Cody about it because I feel like Cody would be willing to talk about it. I think it's a conversation. It doesn't have to be just an interview. So
you asked Cody, I went off on a tangent.
Yeah, well, that's
rant.
All right. It's
pretty easy to anymore.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy to go off. But I think ultimately you got to get the money out of politics. Corporations got to stop greasing politicians and influencing them on how they vote on shit.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So we're going to wrap it up here because I think we've gone through everything that we want to get through. Have you got any questions that you thought up? But
I don't think so.
What advice in that wise mind of yours would you give to 18-year-old Cody? 18-year-old, or when you got back from the farm, I guess, back out of college, what do you wish you would have known, or what do you wish somebody would have told you? When you got out,
not to spend so much money on Friday and Saturday nights at the bar first of all. save that money up and grow there. I was pretty fortunate in the path I had and just worked hard every day. So I'd say just a lot of lessons I had to learn the hard way. I guess if I had to go back and tell myself that stuff, I'd cheat myself out of the experience of learning those lessons.
Yeah.
The hard way.
That's a good
So it's hard to go back and tell me that stuff because I've seen a lot of people. They work hard in their early 20s and all the way up, and they get to the 30s and they end up having a drinking problem and go out partying and doing all this stuff. I feel like I got that out of my way when I was younger, and now I can focus on the farm, family, and grow that and know that there's no light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah.
So I would say just stay focused. You know, there is an end goal, and believe that, you know, you'll get there someday. Just keep grinding every single day. Wake up, be happy you're alive, and you got another day to do it. So,
well, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. If you guys got any value from the show, share it out with your friends, family, coworkers, employees, whoever. The more you guys share it, the better this thing grows, the better guests we can have on. If you got any value, leave a review on Spotify or Apple, and we'll see you back here next week for another episode.